The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon here where we are in Central Time. Wow, our new time slot. Oh, my goodness. And see, I know that we had people calling before the top of the hour break. And I want you to keep an open mind during this segment here, because I know with all the unrest going on in all these universities and the libtard professors are trying to incite and support what's going on at these universities, parents of these children that actually are going there that want an education at one of these higher libtard universities.
Very expensive.
I don't get it. Jared Knott joins us, and he's got a multifaceted take with a new book out, Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, 39 Tiny Mistakes That Changed the World Forever. And, of course, it's available through the Power Mall and the Power Hour as well. You can click on our guest tab, and there's a link there to go buy the book, which helps us keep us on the air. Jared Knott, by the way, is a decorated combat infantry officer in Vietnam in 1st Air Cavalry Division. Thank you for your service, sir. We appreciate that. I was in during the same time, but not at the same time you were. I was in later. But anyway, it's one of these things where we look at what history has done in these blunders. Can you outline some of these blunders for us after you shut off your phone? Somebody, you're a popular guy. Everybody's trying to call you.
Yes, okay. Well, I should turn it off here. Okay, sorry.
That's all right. So anyway, the inspiration for the book, I mean, you wrote this. Have you written other books besides?
No, I've written a number of articles, magazine articles, national articles, and I'm in the middle of the sequel, okay, to this book. This is the first full book that I've written. I'm happy to say it's done. It's been an enormous blessing. It's been on the best, as I was saying, it's been on the bestseller list at Amazon for more than 40 months. It has sold over 25,000, getting ready to be 23,000 copies, having almost 3,000 reviews, the vast majority of which are very favorable. And we won 6 awards. And so it's been a huge, huge blessing.
Well, that's wonderful. I appreciate that. People are wanting to know this little bits and pieces of history that you bring out in the book, the 39 tiny mistakes. Now, some of them had to do with the Vietnam War as well, did they not?
That's right. In fact, the very first one I thought of, first idea I had for it was way back when. The teaser for it is this: a single piece of tape rotated several inches the wrong direction changed the outcome of the Vietnam War. The United States might very well have won, except for that single tiny mistake, which makes absolutely no sense. What in the world are we talking about? Well, it has to do with the Watergate break-in. And James McCord and the Cuban operatives were jimmying the lock from the parking garage into the office building. They were told to hold down the striker on the door with a piece of tape in the vertical position so it couldn't be seen from the hallway. They made a mistake. You can see this in the movie, the old movie, All the President's Men. They put it across the face of the door.
Oh, no.
Yes, and then Frank Wills, the local man doing his job, the night watchman, is walking down the hallway. What's this tape on the door? Oh, wow, the door has been jimmying. Okay, so he calls the Washington, D.C. police. The story is that I think he had to call them twice. Anyway, calls them, and there's a strong rumor that when they call the local officer, uniformed officers on duty in that section of the city that night, he was intoxicated in a local bar, according to the rumor. Okay, so they couldn't send him, so they sent instead the bum patrol as three officers dressed as hobos in a jalopy car. Okay. Well, they pull up there to the Watergate complex. Okay, they're not recognized by the lookout as police officers. They come in, they discover James McCord, arrest the Cuban operatives, and Watergate begins. Boom, 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 one thing after another. Henry Kissinger gave an interview, and he said they knew that the treaties with North Vietnam had just been signed. They said they knew the North Vietnamese were going to be testing the treaty, violating the treaty. The plan was to go back in there and bomb the daylights out of them again. to get them back into compliance with the treaty. They were so weak politically they could not, because of Watergate, South Vietnam collapses, Nixon administration collapses, it all falls apart because of a single piece of tape rotated several inches the wrong direction and a drunk cop. So there we are.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, people would figure that out. But I mean, how many people would have done the same thing and put it across horizontally to stop it from happening? Yeah. I would have never thought vertical.
Seriously.
I mean, boy.
Good deal, right? Yeah. Well,
does that make a difference or what, folks? I'm talking about the fact that this is, see, one thing leads to another, and it's all a big chain reaction of events. And yes. See, the thing is now you have some other things, like about a soldier accidentally kicking a helmet off of the top of a wall.
Yes.
Causing an empire to collapse? How so?
Yes, the thing that doesn't make sense either. How could that possibly happen? Well, it has to do with Cyrus the Great, and he's mentioned in the Bible very favorably. He's the one that gave the children of Israel their freedom from Persia. And there's also a conflict between Lydia and the emperor of Lydia was Croesus, from the expression richest Croesus. And, of course, Cyrus the Great, those two empires were coming together for a big battle. Well, Croesus wanted to see if he's going to win the battle or not. So he sends a representative to the Oracle of Delphi. And what they did when they were there, they splashed around a whole bunch of gold, very generous to all the people there, so on and so forth. That's where he gets his reputation for being wealthy. And that's the expression of richest Croesus comes from that. So they talk to the Delphi Oracle. She comes down and she says, a great battle will be fought and an empire will be destroyed. And he took that to mean that he was going to win the great battle and destroy the empire. It didn't quite work out that way. So anyway, here comes the great big battle. Lydia and the Spartans on one side, by the way, and Croesus on the other. They fight pretty much to a draw. So then Cyrus the Great puts his men on ships and sails away. Okay, the Spartans, we won the battle. The Spartans go home. Okay, but they didn't call him Cyrus the Great for nothing. About a week later, he turns around and sails right back in. Okay, and then the battle is joined again, and then Croesus withdraws his troops up into the giant fortress there on the Cyprus, the Cyros. Okay, and there they are. But the winter's coming. Cyrus the Great is going to may run out of supplies for his troops. He may be in big trouble. Plus, the Spartans are coming back to help Croesus. It could be that Cyrus has gotten himself into a real box. And then here comes the tiny mistake. Up on this high fortress there, one of the soldiers actually kicks his helmet off the top of the wall, comes tumbling down, all the way down to the bottom. The soldier gets off the top of the wall and climbs down a secret passageway down the side of the wall. But one of Cyrus's men sees him. Look, there's a secret passageway up the side of the wall. So the next night, a raiding party goes up that passageway, goes up over the wall. They didn't defend it very carefully there because it was so high, and so they thought it was too forbidding. Then they go in there, able to force open the gates. Cyrus's men come flooding in through the gates. They conquer the city, and the whole thing, the whole Lydia Empire collapses. But if it had not been for the tiny mistake, instead of being called Cyrus the Great, he might have been called Cyrus the Chump.
Oh, boy. And then you have the last one I want to bring up before we get into the real meat of things here is about this small mechanical device several inches long fails to function, which changes the outcome of World War II and leads to the death of millions of people. How did that happen?
Yes, that had to do with the general's plot, the German general's plot to assassinate Hitler. And they've been trying for years without success. At one point, they were going to give up. And the word came up to the generals there in Russia, the German generals fighting the war in Russia, that the spirit troops were going to give up on the whole thing. But they ended up deciding to go ahead because the world was going to be looking at them. And so that what they did, Hitler would, it was difficult to get him pinned down on any particular date because he believed that the reason so many assassinations were successful is that you knew where the target of the assassination was going to be at a particular time, a particular place. It kept a very erratic schedule, so no one knew where it was going to be. But anyway, they get him up for this big strategy meeting there in Russia, okay, and then when he's getting on his plane, he and his entourage getting on his plane to go back, one of the generals comes up and says to the people on the plane, take this gift box, it's a gift of cognac or liquor, and give it to General so-and-so back in Berlin. But it wasn't a bottle of cognac, it was a bomb, okay? And so they pull the trigger on the device. Okay, they put it on. Here it is. They put it on the plane. Plane takes off. It's supposed to blow up 45 minutes later. Can you imagine the tension on the ground, walking back and forth, back and forth? 45 minutes later, nothing happens. 3 or 4 hours later, they get word the Hitler's plane has landed successfully in Berlin. Oh, my gosh, something went wrong. So they were able to get back to Berlin with the generals, okay, and they open it, pull the box away, and they open it up, and the little tiny devices, about 3.5 inches long, fail to function. And they think because of the atmospheric conditions may have made a difference, and so it failed to function. Well, the war would have ended a year earlier. Hundreds of thousands of people's lives might have been saved. The map of Europe might have been different, except for that single tiny failure mistake. And what are you going to do? There it is.
Wow. But it took you a lot to do the research on this, didn't it? So. Wow. Amazing. All right. Now we move on to something of more current affairs, and that is the Biden administration, of course, now is pledging ironclad support for Israel after the Iran drone attacks. But the thing is that now we have a situation where we could be, and a lot of people have disagreed with this, on the cusp of World War III based on the Middle East conflict and what's going on there. And apparently, see, the one thing that we do know is something happened on October 7th last year.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, by the way, I mentioned talking about tiny mistakes. There was a lot of indications, or let's say a number of indications, that a big attack was coming. The president of Egypt says that he called the Israeli government and warned them in advance that something big was about to happen. They had seen people practicing with those gliders, those parachute gliders, or other indications that something big was about to happen, maybe out of cockiness, maybe out of arrogance, maybe out of complacency. The Israeli government did nothing to prepare itself for that kind of an attack. If they had responded, they had launched a preemptive attack themselves to neutralize what was the storm that was gathering. The whole situation might be very, very different. Instead of the atrocities taking place, which led Israel to a very huge counterattack, they might all have been avoided. So that lapse in security is you can call that a tiny mistake that's led to this huge calamity that we're facing right now at our universities, at the colleges, in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. But no, are we close to World War III? I do not think so. Experts say that Iran does not want a war with Israel or the United States. They have a very weak military. They have a very small air force. Their military is not well trained, not well supplied. Air forces are very small. They would certainly lose any kind of war with the United States, with NATO, and with Israel. They do not want war, nor does Russia want war in that particular area, because out of the blessing of our strength, we're so we would be so likely to win a very one-sided war. What will happen, of course, is the terrorist attacks will continue to take place. The terrorist organizations will be supported by Iran, and the money that we've allowed Iran together. They reckon Donald Trump, he put heavy sanctions on the Iranian government in terms of their oil business. Okay, their oil supplies, and but they had got down where they only had $4 billion left in their treasury. It's a pittance for our country. Well, now that Biden has opened up the trade in petroleum products, they have like $70 billion, plenty of money for terrorism, plenty of money to support wars, et cetera, et cetera. So that's another mistake, not a tiny mistake or a big mistake. But to answer your question, no, I do not think we're close to World War III. But we got a mess in our college campuses. We got a mess in the Middle East we're going to have to deal with.
So the thing is, though, is that we all had some sort of foreknowledge that Israel was warned this was going to happen. Oh. Is it remotely possible? And I'm just throwing this out there. This isn't me with my tinfoil hat on, Jared. Is it entirely possible that Israel let it happen? False flag attack. Is it possible?
Now, well, of course, a lot of things are possible. I don't think so. It was such an ugly, ugly mess. 1,200 people tortured to death, babies cooked alive in ovens. No, I think there's an old saying in law enforcement, why assume a conspiracy when simple incompetence is the answer? Well, for all their blitz, for all their success, the Israelis, I think, just lowered their guard and didn't take the warning seriously, and you see what happened. And by the way, talking about deliberately having a surprise attack take place. There's a whole great big discussion, but there are serious people who think that the Roosevelt and General Marshall knew that the Japanese were coming. They wanted to get the United States in the war because they didn't want Hitler to win or the Japanese to win. And so they knew it was coming. I didn't realize it was going to be as devastating as it was, but they did not want preemptive attack. They wanted them to full engagement, so they'd be, the American public would be behind that, joining in the war. That's a whole great big subject. I don't want to go into it now, but that's something that may tie into the thing that you mentioned about wanting an attack to take place.
Sure. Now, because of the fact that now we have this supposed, and this is the thing, they all went to the World Economic Forum, and we're talking about David Cameron from the UK and Blinken from the United States, and they're all there talking about this little ceasefire deal. That's not going to solve anything because the Israeli military is gearing up to go into Rafah as we speak, and they don't have a whole lot of time. Hamas does not have a whole lot of time. This is one of these things that, again, and I've been saying on this program, which is, I don't know, there's everybody's taking sides on this thing. It's being used to create divisiveness in America and take their eye off the real prize, which is November in our elections. Mm-hmm. And they all want to sit there and fight about all these little things. And it's got really, you know, when we have a United States government that appears, and, you know, I mean, a lot of us veterans out there, like yourself, sir, have looked at this situation and going, you know, where did our government go wrong? What is AIPAC? I mean, Greg Reese just wrote this about this on Substack. I just talked about it. AIPAC has literally, from what he's intimating, bought off Congress. Does that make sense?
Right. You're talking about corruption in Congress. That's a whole great big subject. Also, there's a lot of indications that a lot of the billions of dollars that was going to the Ukraine, millions were coming back in terms of bribery to Congress or people who have alleged that. That's easy enough to believe. Of course, we got the whole situation with Hunter Biden and the Chinese Communist Party paying $24 million and above into the shell corporations going to the Biden family, Tony Bob Lindsay, the whole great big thing. So it's a gigantic can of worms. Is there corruption in Washington? Well, there's Jimmy Stewart let us know, and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Yes. By the way, just to digress for a second, a lot of people were opposed to the release of that movie because it made, you know, the American, the Washington establishment look corrupt, which it probably was to a certain extent. One of the biggest people behind opposing the release of that movie was Joe Kennedy himself, who probably, yes, who was probably as guilty as any of the people in the movie for the bribes and corruption and so on and so forth that was going on. But anyway, I don't know about it. Of course, the corruption thing is a whole big separate issue. But I don't know where we're going to end up. I think there's a pressure on Hamas, and one, they have like two fighting battalions in Rafah, the part of Hamas, and the Israel military wants to eliminate those fighting battalions. They want to destroy Hamas. Then they're ready to talk peace. And I guess the hostages are kind of secondary to that. But there's pressure on Hamas, but of course they're fanatical. So I'm not sure whether the peace treaty is going to be possible or not. I don't know.
But the thing is that with all these civilian populations that have been driven down there into Rafah, you also have the possibility that they're being used as human shields, which this is not uncommon when you're running a terrorist organization, is to use hostages to prevent the other side from coming in and just wiping out a whole slew of people in the process of getting rid of the enemy.
You're exactly right. The hospital just being one example, and choosing a hospital for the headquarters was an example of that very thing.
And so these,
I mentioned, yeah. Jimmy, the Arab world does not want the Palestinians to be able to escape to any other part of the world. They want to keep them bottled up there. They want that. They keep the pot boiling in terms of that controversy, in terms of the confrontation. But if there was someplace else for them to go, that would be a great solution to the overall problem. I'm sorry, Jimmy, interrupt.
No, that's all right. I'm just going to let you finish that train of thought because, you know, these are the things that are on Americans' minds right now, is why we have all these anti-Israeli protests going on in America versus, and I mean, this is what just history is teaching us, because we're dealing with a centuries-old war that just doesn't ever seem to end. And here we have Congress supporting Israel, allegedly, then we have a certain faction of Congress that is, of course, against Israel. So there's your divisiveness there. Now we've got all these college kids out there protesting and setting up encampments and refusing to leave and getting suspended and getting arrested and all this other stuff. I mean, there's no happy medium here. What is history telling you?
Well, it's you have a group of people that want war, and they want from the river to the sea, they want to destroy Israel. They keep getting defeated. Anytime they engage in war with Israel, they lose over and over again. It's a very frustrating situation, but they're never willing to accept peace. They're never willing to acknowledge that Israel has the right to exist. So it's kind of a conundrum without a solution. The war just keeps going on and on and on and on. The only way, I guess, that it wins ends is if Israel just totally defeats and annihilates the enemy, which they may go into Rafah and destroy those two battalions, and then it can end because they vanquished their enemy, they've eliminated their enemy, then they can find some way of ending it, I guess. Right? But there's such fanaticals on the other side, they don't listen to reason, they'd rather die, and supposedly when they die, some of the terrorists, I guess, are supposed to go to heaven with 40 virgins or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're not motivated. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's the. It's difficult to get to behave in a reasonable fashion over there because they want war and self-destruction so much.
But this is just one aspect of this whole thing, because now you've got Lebanon, Syria, and all these other proxy wars with Hezbollah. Well, I mean, it's like the conflict never ends.
And you have Iran, of course, with their drone attacks and that sort of thing, supporting terrorism in the region with the billions of dollars that they have now, thanks to the Biden administration, who were strangling them down to where they were arms were kind of tied behind their back. Now that's all gone. Now they're wealthy and they're very generous to their terrorist allies.
But in this country now, we're in the middle of conflict right before the November election. And I mean, is this even going to have a factor? I mean, is there something that people need to understand about all of this to get their head out of that scenario and start focusing on the here and now as far as America and how we're involved in our own political conflict? Is there anything in history that teaches us this?
Well, I can only go back to the last administration. And I hate to get political, but of course there was no adventurism on the part of Putin, and that Trump, he told Putin that he would bomb Moscow if he invaded Ukraine. Ukraine. Also, there was no adventurism on the part of the Chinese regarding Taiwan. The Iranians were strangled down; they didn't have much funds. So and they also had the agreement they had put together in the Middle East. So things, I think, objectively speaking, we're much better managed. I guess the important thing is, and I'm sorry to get political, if you have a competent president, a lot of competent people around him, things go better than if you have someone who makes mistake after mistake. And it's a political statement, I'm sorry, but you can make a strong case with inflation, the border, the foreign policy. You can make a strong case that our current administration would not get high marks in terms of their wisdom and their competency.
That's understandable with most of the people who listen to the show, especially. So one of the things that you talk about in the book is the butterfly effect. Could you explain that?
Yes. Well, it's interesting. There was a mathematician. His name was Edward Lorenz, and he was a brilliant, brilliant mathematician, one of the leading mathematicians in the world. Way back in the 1950s, he was working with the computers at the time, and he had a number that had it was a number of a decimal and 18 small numbers behind it, okay? It was taking computers of the day a long, long time to run the analysis of that particular number. Which, well, gee whiz, those numbers are so small, I think I just whack off about six or seven of them, and I'll just have to do a decimal with 12 numbers instead of with 18 numbers. It won't make that much difference. The numbers are so small. Okay, well, he was absolutely amazed the huge, huge difference it made in the outcome when he just snipped off those last six numbers. And so it led to him to make a presentation to a mathematical conference that would mean, wasn't predicting weather, that if a butterfly flapped its wings in Brazil, that would set off a chain reaction that could lead to a cyclone in Texas a year and a half later. That's where the phrase the butterfly effect comes from, one small thing hitting another, and that's what you get disastrous in the end, which is sort of the subtitle. I was going to use it. It's the subtitle of the book, but some people didn't know what the butterfly effect was, so I mentioned it back, but I don't want to lose half the audience. So But that's exactly what we're talking about here. Example after example of the book, the sinking of the Titanic, also the election in 2000. There's a little tiny mistake. It dominoes, and blows up at the end, and has a huge, huge change to the outcome. And by the way, there's one mistake in there made by Woodrow Wilson. If he had not made that mistake, there's a good chance that China would be a democracy today. It was made in the 1919 Versailles Treaty. That's an interesting story. It's in the book also.
It's just amazing. I mean, we're talking about something, and I don't know, the truism, and I use this a lot in my book, Doomed to Repeat, but George Santayana said, you know, those who are ignorant of it are doomed to repeat it.
That's right.
I mean, you have so much in this book that goes to the core of all of this stuff, and that, do we see this same thing repeating itself in America? I mean, do you see the landscape changing dramatically in our future?
Well, I talk in the end of the book there, in a sense, favorite part of the book, talking about how do you avoid tiny mistakes. Well, I'll give you a quick story. There was a doctor, Attila Gawande, and he was concerned that so many mistakes were being made in the operating room, which could lead to fatalities. He said, gee, it's getting so complex, it's so involved, that it becomes so difficult that it's beyond the human mind to be able to keep things organized and to make the right decisions. I wonder what the airline industry has done. They offer to deal with complex situations. And he went over and he spoke with Boeing. And that's before Boeing had a current trouble. Anyway, and went back, the interviews with him, went back to a famous airline crash way back in 1936. It was the early prototype of the B-17. Anyway, there was a crash. Two extremely good pilots, pilot and co-pilot, they made one small mistake. They forgot to slip off the elevator switch, which caused the airplane to go up and stall and pancake down. And both of the pilots were killed, and this was two of the best pilots that they had. And then Boeing back then said, what can we do to make sure these kinds of tiny mistakes did not take place? They went back to an ancient tool, okay, the Humboldt checklist. And it says they put together this checklist, 37 items, 43 items, and the pilot, co-pilot would go down each time, okay, turn this dial to position number one. And number two, click off the elevator, because that lift, two, so on, so on, three, four, so check. So your human mind can only think about one thing at a time. Checklist, make sure you do think about all these things that they should be taken care of, and it's less likely that somebody's going to slip through the cracks. Well, he took that principle back and applied it in the operating room, and they got dramatic results. The fatality rates dropped by 36% with the use of the checklist system. It's now universally applied across the United States. By the way, as a footnote, they also found in the operating room, when all the people there introduced themselves, and everybody knew the names of the other people, people were less likely to be intimidated by the doctor and more likely to speak up. That also was helpful in reducing fatalities. But anyway, the Humboldt checklist, that being incorporated, can help to reduce mistakes whether you're building a treehouse or whether you're planting a garden or whether you're involved in heart surgery.
It's just amazing. But the thing is those little tiny mistakes is exactly what this book's about. And the name of it is called Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, because if you don't use the checklist, I mean, you end up what happened, almost happened with the Swiss Air Jet at JFK. Yes. And then, I mean, seriously, they're lowering the bar so much that we're forgetting about the checklist. Jared Knott, we're at the break. It's been a pleasure talking to you, sir. Good luck with the book. I hope it stays up on the New York Times bestseller list.
TinyBlundersBigDisasters.com, TinyBlundersBigDisasters.com, and get the 2.5 free chapters there.
Well, there you go. Heck of a deal, folks. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. And again, thank you so much for your service.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your service. Thank you.
Take care. You bless. God bless you for the work you're doing. We'll be back after the break with more news and your phone calls. Stay with us.
Leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. ShopThePowerMall.com. That's theharrimall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oil of Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and high bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
And we're back at 33 minutes after the hour here on the Power Hour for our last segment. Phone lines are open, of course. We've been talking about a lot of stuff out there, and let's see, I know you've all been patiently holding, waiting to get in here for your comments. Go to Brady first off. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. I guess he was talking to Biden today. He was begging him so they wouldn't arrest him from the International Criminal Court of Justice. Good old Bibi Netanyahu.
Yep, okay.
So they're real close to arresting him for crimes of genocide, him and his military advisors and his army generals. So the protesters do have something to complain about or protest about. At least it's not violent.
Well, guess what, Brady? News just came in while you were holding that they are going to start expelling the students at Columbia that occupy Hamilton Hall right now. So these people will be charged with criminal trespass and being kicked out of school. And I would hate to be the parent who is paying for this, because I'm assuming that unless they got a scholarship and they're that smart, if they were that smart and they got a scholarship, I sure don't think they'd be risking it, holding a protest for something that they really don't have any control of. That's a real problem.
One thing, Dave, with that, too, is I also heard that they're going to call in the National Guard. Can you say Kent State all over again?
Oh, I knew you were going to go there with that. You know what? I don't know. You know, we got restraint. We do. But I mean, if the kids get violent and they start lobbing Molotov cocktails or whatever at National Guard troops, history does repeat itself. And those who are ignorant or determined, they're going to repeat it. It's just one of those things that we don't want to see another Kent State. Obviously, you got to ask yourself the simple question of how is it that these people can be so brainwashed as to forget about school studies and why are they there and take up some sort of thing about genocide when they're promoting abortion and they got the jab and everything's okay and so people are going to die. You know, where were they when we were all screaming bloody murder, including yourself, about these shots and how dangerous they were and my body, my choice? And where was it when the mandates got imposed? You see, I don't think half these people, Brady, can make up their mind what they want. I think they're a little confused out there.
You know, one thing before I go, they always equate, you know, this whole, you're going to hear for the next few months now before the election even comes out, talk about abortion. That's their number one thing for the Democrats right now.
Sure.
The funny thing, all they do is they complain about reproductive rights for the woman. How does abortion have anything to do with reproduction, Dave? I think we need to rename that to, I don't know, it's almost ritualistic sacrifice today. I mean, how does abortion have anything to do with reproduction? And how do they get across that is actually demonic. It should be outlawed. And then you have them talking about abortion all the way up till the time of birth and after birth abortions. What is going on?
Yeah, well, we already know what's going on because, I mean, Satan is controlling the situation of what's going on in D.C., and they've got everybody believing that it's all about abortion and that that's right. My body, my choice. Well, you brought up a very interesting point, and I appreciate your call. The point is, they take words and they play wordsmithing games. They twist the words. They make words of dissent. I'd like to get Brent Hammaker back on the show and talk about that, the dissident book he wrote. The bigger problem is they take the words, and Brady, you brought it up. Great line. Reproductive rights. Now, take that word, take that phrase, reproductive rights. It is your right to get pregnant. You see, now I just posited something that people do when they get married. Of course, now that's all changed. Satan has taken it and twisted the word. So reproductive rights has nothing to do with be fruitful and multiply, according to the good book. Right now, reproductive rights have all now they've shifted the gear, changed the words, and now it's all about abortion. Now it's about the right to terminate my reproductive right. I have a right to get pregnant. I have the right to get rid of it. Well, yeah, God gave us free will. But then you see what Satan does? Ye shall not surely die. Remember that all the way back in the book of Genesis? He lied to Eve. The serpent lied to Eve. Ye shall not surely die. This is what happens when you twist words and you incite trouble and you divide America and you get people that are just so upset with each other, they want to go out and do stupid things. And that's exactly what you got going on in America right now. Kevin in Ohio, good morning, sir.
Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon for you, hey, I guess. It's afternoon now. I'm so used to mornings, I haven't gotten out of that time zone yet.
this really good. It's all just the same as it was before on the program. You know?
Yeah.
It's just a later time, right?
That's right.
Calling everything.
That's right.
Yeah. I went through a couple of those things when I was. I grew up in Southern California, Ventura County.
Okay.
I remember when Ronald Reagan went after the Vietnam War protesters at University of California, Berkeley. He went. They took the president's hall. He went in there and cleaned their butts out. Remember, they called him Ronald Reagans.
Yep.
That's he got that name. And then a few years later, I started school at the University of California, Berkeley, when I was in the Army, stationed
wow.
in Frisco. And then I came back to Ohio, and I graduated from Kent State, you know. And
there's a piece of history we didn't know about.
And then
wow.
I got a real bone to pick about Kent State, the killings, because uh-huh. they sent in the weekend. They sent in Cecil Rhodes sent in the weekend warriors to do that, and they had never seen any combat. None of them had ever been in a real army. You know, they were just the weekend warriors, and they're the ones that shot the kids. And that just grinds me to the end, to no end, because, you know, they say, you know, they look like the military was doing, but it's, of course it's military, but it's just not the same, Dave. And
no,
it just always has.
Well, there's another little backstory. Yeah, Kevin, there's another little backstory about that, too, because a friend of mine, I got in a conversation with him. He's a business associate of mine, and he was talking about Kent State. He brought it up. And I said, really? So you spent time in the service? He goes, yeah. He goes, we were actually dispatched to the area, and we actually confronted some of the people that were going to that sit-in out there, that protest out there. And he said, we were pulled back. They had some other unit take our place. These were the experienced troops that you were talking about that were supposed to be in there, and they sent in weekend warriors first. He told me they were there and they got pulled out. They were told to leave and leave the area after they only contained one part of the university. It was probably on the other end of it where people were like assembling and like a staging area, and they cleaned that out and got rid of it all.
Yep.
And took one person into custody, and you never heard anything about it. What you heard about was what happened on the lawn out there.
Yep. They went up on that hill, and it turned out, I really think it's a false flag. Cecil Rhodes just, he was a son of a gun, you know, just a rotten thing.
I get it. Boy, this is some sad truisms in American history, man. I'll tell you what, tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. Wow. Yeah, and then musicians live to write about it. I appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you. I know it's a sore spot. Wow. Jeff in North Carolina, good morning, sir, or good afternoon. I guess it's your time. We can say good afternoon now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I wanted to comment on the comments that your caller, the one caller just made in Brady. I'm from Ohio, too. I graduated high school in 79. I remember that stuff at Kent State. And I was a very big Neil Young fan. Do you remember that song, Day Four Dead in Ohio? You remember that one?
Yeah, that's the one I was just quoting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Ohio, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it really would be something if I wasn't even thinking about that, the point that Brady just said. I'm sorry. But, you know, but you're right, though. I mean, they're like, that'd be the very last extreme that they'd want to go to. But you know, and you also brought up what happened, the shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina, of the officers. You know, I had also seen, I don't know if you've seen this, Dave, in Florida, I watch Grady Judd. I keep watch him on a regular
basis. County,
yep,
you bet.
I guess it was. Did you see that that shooting that happened down there I think it was a few days ago, but there was a couple of law enforcement officers that got shot up real bad. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. I'm just remembering to keep these law enforcement officers in prayer, because just like you said, they're out there. I mean, you might not like some of them or whatever, but they're out there doing a job probably most people definitely do not want to do. So anyway, Dave, that's all I got to say. I appreciate
all
you.
Right. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you so much. God bless. Phil in Florida. Good morning, sir. Or good afternoon, rather. God, I got to get my head out of I got to get my head out of the morning show here. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave. I've got to take issue at how you're framing this, man, with the students. And I'm not going to go over there. My U.S. government is spending my U.S. tax dollars here to give to Israel to fund and arm the Israeli military genocide against the people of Palestine. And actually, I'm looking at Netanyahu's tweet from Saturday, just shortly after the U.S. Approved the aid package to fund this. U.S. Congress just overwhelmingly passed much appreciated aid bill, blah, blah, blah. And then they just they killed 22 in Rafah, 18 of them children. I want to encourage you to get someone from the student protesters themselves, Columbia University apartheid divest. There's also the Jewish students who make up a good portion of those protesters, the Jewish students that make up Not in Our Name, as well as Jewish Voices for Peace. They're actually, ask them what they're there to protest instead of decide for ourselves. I'd like to, you know, I'd love to have you see, you have them on air and let you have at them and let them answer for themselves. And I also want to hear the other four tenets of the First Amendment, and not to frame this as simply a freedom of speech issue is not fair. There's also the right to freely assemble and mm-hmm. protest for mm-hmm. redress of grievances. And, you know, it just, this is not full disclosure, Dave. And
yeah, well,
and
again,
get these folks on and let them answer for themselves.
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice if they weren't wearing masks, because a lot of them are. And I, you know, it is a fact. I'm not going to dispute any of what you just said. I'm agreeing with the fact that our Congress is nothing but a bunch of warmongers, at least the majority of them are. They want, you know, not so much regime change, but they want war. They want to fund wars. They want to keep this, because they think for some strange reason that war is going to help our economy, and it doesn't. It destroys it. They want to destroy Israel. They want to help Israel, but at the same time, they're furthering a war and getting the Israel's neighbors upset, more upset with it than it already is. They are funding a centuries-old war with our tax dollars. I am not going to disagree with you at all, Phil. You're right on. As for getting these people out there that are in college right now that are there to study and get an education, God forbid, I don't know what kind of education they're getting, and then all of a sudden they risk that education by taking up sides in something that they don't have control over. And this is about as bad as siding with members of our Congress that are either pro-Palestinian or anti-Israeli or whatever term you want to use. They want to get involved with something that they have no control over. Now, what do they have control over? They have control over who they elect to Congress. And every 2 years, they elect Congress people there that may not do their bidding. And the thing is AOC should go back to being a barrister. And I don't even know if she can make a decent latte. I haven't tried one. But the thing is that, you know, ever since she'd been in there with the left squad, all they've done is promote exactly what kind of divisive content this country doesn't need right now, and has taken all of its attention away from what's going on in this country, which, one, we're being invaded, Two, the inflation rate is so terrible that people can't afford to feed their families, let alone pay the rent. Credit card debt is at an all-time high, and we're worried about what's going on in some dormitory somewhere or some hall somewhere by some ill, misguided people that want to take the war and bring it here. You know, that's the critical mass. They're thinking, and you're right, Phil, maybe they should come on this show and sit there and yell death to America, because a lot of them, I mean, when you're talking about Palestinians and they subscribe to Arab culture, they're yelling death to America. Now, people can't seem to make up their mind. I mean, Antifada, I mean, the Biden administration has already taken issue with that, yet the Biden administration turned around and Biden signed a bill to fund Israel and give them all this money. I mean, this is just insane. It is absolutely insane, Phil, what's going on here. This is the divisiveness I'm talking about. And whether I let these people on the air to sit there and express their views, we already know what their views are. They've already made it clear. They're putting posters up all over the place. They got tents up all over the place. They've taken, you know, I mean, this is, it could turn into another summer of 2020. They could literally burn Hamilton Hall to the ground. And what does that get their message across? How does that work? Same thing as burning out two police precincts. Does that get their message across?
It's crazy. Are you just going to keep talking? Dave?
No.
Are you there?
Phil?
Dave?
I'm here. Yep.
Oh, thank you. I've been muted for quite a long time. I challenge you to have these folks on, and they wear the COVID mask, the same mask people wore for COVID. And if that's your excuse for not having them on, you know, I think the Power Hour listeners are pretty smart. And I think what you're demonstrating here is, with all that talk and the round and round, I still want to encourage you to have these people on and let them speak for themselves, rather than you just tell us listeners and supporters you're speaking for them. That's not right, and we're not getting an honest, complete, transparent presentation here, Dave.
Yeah, it's the media that's playing it up, right?
Back and I couldn't get a word in. I was muted that whole time. You know,
wow.
You went round and round and round, man. Let's stay on this one point of U.S. taxpayer money funding this Israeli military genocide on Gaza right now.
Yep.
Here and now.
That's right,
forget
Phil.
About ancient times.
Yep. No, we're looking at now, right now, in the here and now. We're looking at what they're going to do in Rafah, and they're going to commit genocide in the international community court. I mean, this criminal court in Brussels and The Hague and whatever. I mean, these people, this is like the mouse that roared, Phil. These people don't have any jurisdiction to do anything about Israel. And if it's going to happen, you know, I would love say, if you would please go to support@thepowerhour.com and send Catherine a message. She would, you know, I mean, we would first off like to know who these people are that are protesting. I'd love to have them come on the show and actually engage in a conversation about the fact that they're saying the same thing that you just did, that there's genocide going on over there and we need to stop it. They're saying the same thing you just did, Phil. Thanks for your call. This is what they're doing. They're saying the same thing you just did. Yeah. Are we funding a war we shouldn't be funding? Agreed. I'm not going around and around. Has Israel completely owned our government with AIPAC? Most of you agree they have. What are we going to do about it? If I have these protesters on and they start screaming on the show and I give them a whole half hour to rant and rave and they say the same thing like I do over and over and over and over, all they had to do was say it in one sentence. We're out there protesting because of the fact we don't agree what our government is doing, funding the war in Israel. Okay. Thank you for your call. But no, they want to keep going. That's why they got their tents set up. That's why they've taken over the hall. I'm just waiting for them to set it on fire and burn it to the ground. What's it going to accomplish? Just like the precinct up in Minneapolis. What's it going to accomplish? What's all the protests going to accomplish? Now, see, we're all on a tangent. We're all on a trend, you know, on this issue out there. We all have an issue. We all have an axe to grind. I get it. We don't like what Israel's doing. We don't like the fact our government's funding them. I've always said Israel can stand on its own 2 feet. They don't need our help. But we keep funding Ukraine, and money keeps getting filtered back, and people are still getting blackmailed. Congress, half of Congress is being blackmailed. I would anticipate half of them are pedophiles. What are we going to do about it? Well, you got the power of the vote. Patrice, you're the last caller up. Good morning or good afternoon.
Hi. So the last caller was absolutely right, Bill. On your demented ABC News, there was a very normal-looking young man, college-educated at Columbia, and said, it's bigger than this. It's just not this craziness. I don't want my tax dollars going to genocide. I think I have a right to say where I want my tax dollars to go. So there are normal people out there. There are normal people. There's probably normal people on the other side too for the Israeli. But I think they're Zionists. I think they're misled. Because genocide is genocide. Bingo. However, that wasn't even what I was going to call about.
I hate the idea that we run out of time because we could have continued this call. We'll take it up tomorrow. There's so much to talk about and so much we weren't able to get to that's on our email blast and also posted on thepowerhour.com. Folks, this is a really touchy subject. And with all of the stuff and strife that's going on in America, the best thing we can do right now is just pray for deliverance here. Pray that, something happens to stop all of this. Ceasefire or no ceasefire. People in this country got to get their head straight or we're going to lose it. And you'll be living in a Soviet socialist style or Chinese communist style country where you have zero freedom. We need to pay attention to what's going on here. In the meantime, see you tomorrow. God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.